Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Recruiting Animal here on December 18th, 2013, the last show of the year. At least I think it is. Anyway, the thing I want to talk about this week is an article I read a couple of days ago about networking. And the reason I want to talk about it is because it taught me a new way to suck up to famous people at a party. As usual, I want to point this out, with networking, it's based on the give so you can get philosophy. Networking is always very egocentric. And here's how this technique works. You see a famous person across the room from you. Sorry, I'm stumbling over my own words. And when you get a chance to talk to him or to talk to her, what you do is ask him what his problems are. Then you offer to solve them, and he's so grateful that he's going to do lots of nice things for you. And the good thing about the article is that it shows you exactly how to do this step by step. The first thing you do is write down 20 things you really like that you're really good at. Maybe you can fix computers, or maybe you fix cars, or maybe you're a good matchmaker. Step two, you take your list of 20 things, I'm not drinking, and you cut them down to four or five things that you do best. And then you go through those four or five things, and you figure out two or three specific things you can offer somebody based on each area of expertise. But there's a problem. There's an issue. How do you get these people to tell you their problems so you can offer to help them? Well, they tell you how, right in this article. You ask the famous person a question. You say something like, have you ever thought of writing a book? Because every famous person wants to write a book. And when they say yes, you say, you know, that sounds pretty good. Do you have an agent? And when they say no, you offer to introduce them to yours. Now, you might say to me, recruiting animal, I'm not a writer. But you don't have to worry about that. The article tells you a lot of things you can offer people besides getting them a book deal. For instance, let's say you live in Buffalo, but you meet someone famous at a party in Washington, D.C. So you just ask them, when are you planning to visit Buffalo? And then when they tell you, you offer to meet them at the airport. You can even invite them to stay at your house for free. Or on a more modest level, you can tell people which it's quite a more modest level, which podcast they can listen to and which software to use, you know, tips. But, you know, I have my doubts that it's going to work. And I'm going to tell you why. Because people, somebody's making noise in the background there. People are doing this all the time. No, not you. Yeah, right. People are doing this all the time already. They offer to do you favors so you'll owe them something, but you don't want to accept gifts. Well, something's wrong here. There's some noise. Anyway, there's always these losers coming on to famous people, and they want to, you know, offer to do things for them, so the famous people are going to, you know, do things back. But the thing is, those famous people aren't interested in some loser who wants to sponge off them. You know, they're successful already. They might not have a book deal, but they don't really need you to get one. You know, I know from experience, I'm inviting people all the time to come on this show. And what does it get? They don't even reply to me. 7 years. And I'm still a nobody. Right? And Jerry, can you tell us what show is this?
Yes, I can. This is the Recruiting Animal Show.
Yeah. happy to be here, and I want to give a special thank you to my good friends, Resume Strategy and Sandra McCart, because I had a problem, and they, you know, spent a lot of time on Facebook trying to help me, and I think, you know, that might have been one of the reasons I can be sitting here today. Okay, I won't go into any more details.
It saved your life.
Maybe. Maybe they came close. Anyway, let me talk to you. Our guest today is a guy named Chad Balbi. I'm going to ask him, Chad, are you here?
I am, yes.
That's great. Talk a little
louder. Hi, Chad.
Sorry.
You're on a, what kind of phone are you on? Someone's got a rushing sound in the background. Jerry, you calling from
that.
A car?
No.
Jerry, you calling from a car?
Is that even possible?
Yeah. Okay, Chad. Chad is short for Chadsworth, right? Like the guy on Dobie Gillis. I don't know if you've ever seen that, Chadsworth, Osborne the Third.
Definitely haven't, and that is the furthest thing that my name could be short for, so unfortunately,
no.
I hate to disappoint you. It's short for Chad.
It's short for Chad. I got to tell you, with your parents, do they speak English? Why did they give you two D's in Chad? It's just confusing. It's ridiculous.
I don't know if I, you know, I tell that story, and it kind of sets a sad tone for the rest of this this show.
Go ahead. I got to know.
Not my parents' decision. That was actually my decision when I was younger. For whatever reason, no rhyme or reason, I just decided, you know, Chad with 1D wasn't sufficient enough, so I decided to give it a second D, and honestly, it's stuck with it ever since. It's been over probably 20 years now, and
it's not sad.
I haven't looked
the
back.
Story, that just makes you look dumb, okay? And I can call you...
See, everything I say from here on out is, you know, hold
right.
No weight.
Okay. His name, Chad is an IT recruiter in Philadelphia. His Twitter address is at CFB Recruiter. CFB Recruiter.
Let me make a note of that. CFB Recruiter?
I'm assuming that F is your middle initial. Is that right?
Yes, it is.
Francis?
Not even close. It's Italian.
Okay. Anyway, Chad's a rare bird. He went... You know, everybody we talk to here is a corporate recruiter. They used to be a third-party recruiter, and then they went inside the company. He started inside the company, and now he left. He's a third-party agency. He's an external recruiter. Chad, what made you do that, since it seems like such an odd thing to do?
To be honest with you, I think it was more or less the situation I was in at the time, being
okay,
a corporate
recruiter.
Okay, hold
on. Daryl Disco, a trusted listener, telling me the line has feedback. I can only hear some a whooshing sound.
I hear nothing.
Let me do something with my phone. It'll take 2 seconds. I think it might solve the issue.
Okay. There might be somebody else. I might have to turn off everybody.
I was going to say, I don't know if that's me or not.
Yeah,
but
let's just go a little longer.
Okay.
When somebody starts talking for a long time, I'll turn off people one by one. Okay,
yeah.
So why did you go from internal to external?
So, like I said, the situation that I was in, you know, the company needed a corporate recruiter, and I had come in and had done a pretty good job for them right off the bat, but business started slowing down real quick, and it turned into an administrative job not too shortly after, and I kind of lost the rush of recruiting. Oh, and it wasn't going to come back for another while, so I said, you know what, I need this rush. I need to keep this, this, you know, upbeat feeling, if you will.
And you've never had the urge to go back?
Not really, to be honest with you.
Why
I've enjoyed
it. Why do so many people do it?
Corporate recruiting?
Into corporate? Yeah.
That's a great question. My girlfriend, actually, she's in the recruiting industry as well, and she actually just moved into corporate recruiting because I think it fits people's personality better.
What is it about? Come on. Do I have to pull it out of you? What is it about their personality?
You know, just the fact that you're not held to certain as – now, I can't speak for everyone here, but, you know, in agency recruiting, it's more cutthroat. It's more of the sales, you know, your typical Wall Street wolf, as they say, to coin a movie coming out here. But in corporate recruiting, it's not necessarily always slower, but for the most part, it's not as cutthroat for the most – you know,
are you cutthroat? Are you a Wall Street wolf? Is that what you're saying?
I think in order to be, you know, in this industry, the third-party agency, yes, you have to have a little bit in that.
I'm in the third-party agency, and I'm not cutthroat at all. I'm real mellow about it.
Oh, I'm extremely mellow.
Who's cutthroat here? Any cutthroat people on the phone? There's a lot of people besides
you okay, animal? You You okay, buddy?
I'm okay.
Okay, you faded out. Your audio went in and out.
Well, I can't help it. I'm screwed all the time by Blog Talk Radio. They take my money and give me bad sound. Now, Chad, nobody's piping up to agree. Yeah, I agree with Chad. I'm a corporate recruiter, and I'm a little pussycat. Or I'm an external third-party agency, and I'm a shark. You're the only one with who believes it, or the only one
with... I'll agree with him. I was a corporate recruiter for 6 years before I went independent, and I think as a corporate recruiter, you have a lot more security. I mean, you have benefits.
Yeah, but he wasn't talking about security. He was talking about being cutthroat and like a wolf.
Well,
come on, tell us what that means
true.
In practical terms.
True.
What does
you
that mean? What does it mean, Kathy? Kathy,
answer the question, animal.
You don't have to fight for your customer as a corporate recruiter. You already have them.
What does that mean in actual behavior? Chad, tell us. Will you already?
Here's an example.
It means
I'll
you can
give.
Sit on your ass and not
no.
worry about it unless they fire you.
Example I'll give is an outside third-party agency. It's kind of like being an outside cat versus an indoor cat. An indoor cat, your meals are fed for you. You don't really have to go out there and take care of it. Outside cat, you have to make sure to hunt and gather and take care of it yourself. That's the same way I look at recruiting.
Wolf. Oh, come on. You said being a wolf. Like, you know, it's going to take me 10 minutes to get you to try to answer the question. I'm going to lose my audience.
I just
you know,
answered your
you
question.
You said you like the audience.
Hey,
like
point
that.
Of reference,
no,
you lost your
you
audience about 3 years ago.
A wolf bites. A wolf is ruthless, you said. Who's doing that? Come on.
God.
Look, I can wreck I can.
There's
wreck
part
the
of your audience
help,
you could
okay?
lose, animal, and be better
what?
Off.
What?
I said there's part of your audience you could lose, and the show would be better off.
Yeah, I know.
People that
okay.
don't know how to keep track of their phones and their mute button and their speakerphone. Come on, people.
Yeah.
God.
Okay. But can you tell us one thing you do that's ruthless?
Again, I kind of skimmed over this, but I wouldn't say I'm a ruthless cutthroat by any means, but you have to have an edge to you. And the thing I do is having to...
Can you tell us one thing, that one thing that shows your edge?
Well, I mean, the fact that I have to go out and get my own business, the fact that
okay,
people slam doors on
you
me,
said,
tell me
okay,
no
I'm
constantly.
I'm going to back off. You win.
Can,
you
can
make a statement
can I ask
like
a question?
All my guests, and you don't have to answer the question.
Hey, can I ask a question?
Yeah,
Chad?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Do you mind, animal? And can he answer the whole thing?
Go ahead, maybe.
If the animal's okay with that.
Okay, can you just like summarize what your company or your boutique, are you an independent guy? Are you part of a bigger company? I mean, what's the story on how you fit in with your company?
Yeah, I'm part of a bigger company.
Okay.
We're called TechUSA. We're a national company with a stronger presence on the East Coast and a few offices out towards the West Coast. And I handle the Philadelphia region, strictly direct hire, permanent placement recruiting for our technical side.
Okay, cool. How many people are in your office then?
In our office, on the IT vertical, we've got about 10. And then in an office as a whole, encompassing scientific and engineering, we've got about 25.
Wow. Okay, that's a pretty big office then.
Yeah, decent size for a relatively smaller company.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah. Let's get through the real problems. My friend.
Now we know who we're talking to, animal.
Appreciate the introduction. 15
He's a recruiter.
Minutes.
He's a recruiter.
He's
oh, a
yeah.
recruiter.
That's all we needed to know. Look, people say that you're a recruiter too, but I'd like to hear the whole story.
He's a ruthless recruiter. Okay, now our good friend Amber Eastman just posted something on Facebook. She
mm-hmm.
says that she recruited a great passive candidate, and the hiring manager, who she can't talk to, she has to go through HR. Hiring manager loved this guy, but he needed more than their usual starting salary. And the hiring manager said okay, HR manager said okay, and the general manager said okay. Are you with me on this, Chad? Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody likes the guy. They
want
to pay him more than they expected they were going to pay. So then the hiring manager sets up a phone conversation with the candidate and his subordinate, the regional sales manager, the subordinate of the hiring manager. But and this when there to be the reason was the sales manager used to have this job, and he's supposed to tell the candidate what it's like to work there. But instead, when they're on the phone, he says, you know, this is the starting salary you're going to get. And he quotes – the standard starting salary, not the inflated one that has been agreed on. And so the candidate gets upset, and Amber has to calm him down, and then they get together again, the executives, the HR manager, the general manager, the hiring manager, and they agree. They're going to pay the guy, they're going to give him an offer, and they're going to pay him more than they originally planned to. But the regional manager, the sales manager, he says, no, I don't think that's a good thing. So they back off. They say, well, let us rethink this. And they start planning again, and they're going to come around to making the original offer they wanted to, but it's dragged out for 2 weeks. This guy wasn't looking for a job when Amber recruited him, and he doesn't really need to move. The other guys already made him nervous. So what did she do wrong, or what would you do?
Well, I mean, first off, the person that did it wrong is the company. That person
now there's
shouldn't.
An echo.
Yeah. Do you hear that?
The company screwed up. Okay, we know that already. What would you do? You're the recruiter. I want to know what would you do.
You have to assure that guy that that's not going to be the case, and tell them. I would even throw it on them to say, "Hey, look, that person wasn't authorized to bring up any sort of salary," and apologize on behalf of the company as a recruiter.
She did that already. She calmed him down. Listen to me, okay? She calmed him down, but now that regional manager is doing his dirty work again, and he slowed the other goofs down. So you know they're shuffling their feet before they get the guts to come up with a. You know, an outstanding offer again. And, you know, the longer it drags out, you know, maybe this guy will get an offer somewhere else. She shook him loose from his company, and now this company, her client, is you know, not saying, this is great, we got to get this guy as soon as possible. They're taking their time. What would you do? Do you have an answer? Just say, I don't know, animal. There's nothing I can do, right?
It's candidate control, and I think that's the most important part. I don't have a relationship with this gentleman, so you're right. It'd be tough to say what I would do, because at that point a relationship would have already been established with him. But I know how I would, if I had a relationship with him, I know how I would handle it, is what I'm saying.
What would you do? Tell me how you would handle it.
Again, I just told you. I would tell that company had no right saying that. That individual had no right bringing up salary to that. That's kind of created a wrench in the plan here.
Okay,
but
thanks.
Ultimately,
big
picture,
let's
they're
move
going
on.
To
Does
offer
anyone
the
else
salary.
Have anything? Gary, do you have anything to say about that?
No, it's kind of a lame story.
You think it is?
Setting me up for failure here.
Yeah, no, it's a new hiring manager, dude. The regional manager was a new guy. They brought him in to make some decisions about some stuff. He's trying to put his team together. Amber already had some candidates in the loop, and the new guy came in and says, hold on a minute. Here's what I want to get done. Her customer changed during the process.
And what should she have done?
All you can do is regroup on it, man.
What does that mean?
You act like we're supposed to just go around telling people stuff. Here's what she should do. Ask questions, listen, refine, understand, and move forward.
Yeah, it means nothing. Thanks. Okay.
Yeah, it means nothing to somebody that doesn't make placements in an ongoing fashion.
Okay. Chad, Tony Restel, our good friend Tony Restel, he posted an article.
The only other guy who posts stuff on Recruiters Online.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It's called 30 Indispensable Social Recruiting Tools. 30 Indispensable Social Recruiting Tools. I'm going to read you a bunch of them. You tell me which ones you use.
Meanwhile,
anybody
I'm going to be looking up the exact Webster's definition of indispensable, if you don't mind.
Okay. And anybody who's on the line after Chad says whether he uses it or not, you're welcome to tell us whether you use it. We're going to do our own little survey. Branch out. Do you use it?
Did before, but not as much anymore.
How did you use it? Did you make any placements using Branch out?
No, I didn't find it successful. I just felt it was Facebook's beta version of LinkedIn.
Okay, and
is that still
work.
Even around?
Yes, I guess it is. He just posted the article. Glassdoor, you use it?
No.
Me either.
Okay. Tweet My Jobs, you use it?
I used it recently. Didn't have much success with it, but it got a couple of jobs out there. So
you got some response from it?
Yeah, I generated one or two conversations. It's nothing I would lay my hat on.
Okay, Work4 Labs?
No.
What
Smart
is it?
Recruiters. Work4 Labs is also, it searches Facebook for candidates.
Oh,
okay.
Boy.
Smart
Interesting.
Recruiter.
Yeah, I've never heard of it. No, but I am interested in learning more about Smart Recruiters.
Okay, they're like an online ATS or something like
is
that.
Is that Jerome Cernick?
Yeah, the greatest guest I've ever had. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Bullhorn Reach.
Yes, I've posted there. I've made one place in through that.
Ugh,
okay.
God.
Job Fight.
No.
Guild.
No.
People, P-I-P-L.
No.
Job Rate.
No.
What?
Yeah, I'm...
Hiring...
Not,
hiring Solved.
No.
Hire Rapid.
No.
Interview Stream.
No.
Hire
You're
you.
Just making stuff up now, right?
Yeah,
no,
or,
right,
at this point, I feel like I'm out of the loop.
Right.
What are these things?
Dude,
okay,
there's a
so
whole
these,
group of people making placements that we've never even heard about.
These are indispensable. These are indispensable social recruiting tools.
Hold on.
What's wrong with you?
Webster's definition of indispensable?
Yeah.
Absolutely necessary.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Wow.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Not necessarily. Just
okay.
Absolutely necessary.
Can't
you
look
must
out.
Work with all 30 of these. Required.
I need to get out of this industry.
Imperative.
Okay.
Requisite.
Now,
must
okay.
have.
All right. Okay.
Critical.
You know what? If I was Amber's candidate, the way you put it, Jerry, I wouldn't go to that company. If there's a new boss there who doesn't want me in on my terms, that's bad, right?
No, yeah, things changed, yeah. Welcome to agency recruiting.
Yeah.
Don't stand on the rug.
You know what I'm saying? Okay, Chad, I read your blog. Now we're going to get to your blog, okay?
Let's get
now,
there.
You said recruiters have bad reputations. You say lots of times people will tell you, when you call them for a job, you know, the potential candidate will say, I don't deal with recruiters, and they'll hang up the phone. How often does that happen to you?
As I mentioned earlier, well, to you, that happened more in the non-technical field than it happens in the technical field. But I would say when I was in the non-technical field, it was happening at least, I would say, biweekly.
Just once every 2 weeks?
Just about, yeah.
You think that's a lot?
That depends on the volume and how long you're in the industry for, but yeah,
yeah
I can
okay.
say that's a
okay.
little more.
So on that basis, you still there?
I'm here.
Okay. On that basis, you said the people don't like recruiters. They think you're selfish. You only care about your commission. You don't care about them. You didn't give us any support for that belief that a lot of people think that. But no one's ever really accused you of those things, right?
I've been accused of being selfish before, yes. It's not something
tell
common.
By your girlfriend or a candidate?
Candidate.
Well, tell
My
me about
never
that.
Say that.
Can you tell me about that?
Probably about 4 years ago, I had a candidate who thought I wasn't fighting for the best interest in them because they had some lofty expectations on their salary, and they thought I was just trying to take money from out of their pocket, and they went off on a tangent about how I was selfish, and I had to educate them on the process that at the end of the day, the more they make, I make.
Right on.
If you're going to demand a high salary and it's more than the candidate the client wants to pay, then we're not going to make anything at all, right?
Exactly.
Anyway. Okay, but the point is, you haven't had many people telling you you're selfish or that they don't want to talk with recruiters. You just made it up out of the blue that people don't have any respect for recruiters. Is that right?
No, the it
wow.
exists out there. It completely exists out there. I can get better facts for you next time.
Yeah,
trust me. But yes,
you,
the
I
thought
tell you,
process
I can
does
tell
exist.
You, look at the comments on your postings. When you say something nice about recruiters, other people say you're lying. So that's the only place I can see that. Okay. So I just wanted to say. So anyway, you say that the problem is they're dealing with bad recruiters, and you want to tell us what a good recruiter does. Is that right?
I like to think, yes, there are certain people that are just out there for themselves, and that puts a bad bad name on our reputation.
I kind of like that, though.
Like what?
Just the scumbag recruiters milling around out there.
Cowboy. Well, yeah.
It makes it far easier for me to just do what I do with professionalism and integrity and really stand out from the crowd if... All of these recruiters are so bad out there. I like it.
No,
I'd
Jerry,
like to see more of it.
Get in the door if everyone hates recruiters. If they make people hate you.
Nobody hates me, man.
I'm
smooth.
Okay. Anyway, look, so how do you tell, give me one thing that a good recruiter does that a bad recruiter doesn't do, or vice versa.
I mean, you take genuine interest.
I got a feeling that shows, am I asking bad questions? I got a feeling the show's lacking some pep here. I'm going to blame it on the guest. The guest is dodging my questions. He's not giving me straight answers.
Well, and let me add, though, to you're not hearing many questions. I think a lot of people are distracted over on the Facebook page, recruiters who actually make placements.
Yeah.
Daryl Daly finally came up with a few of the pictures that his placement lady semi-nude.
I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to talk about
semi-nude
that. Talk about that.
I'm just offering why
okay.
there might
you know
not
what?
Be as
found,
many callers and questions.
I found the windy person. I found the windy person. It's area code. Oh, no, there it is. Bridget Baggett. There she goes. There she goes. Let's see if this one's
working. Sorry, Bridge.
Yeah. She was calling on Skype, I'm pretty sure. That's the problem. Darn sorry,
it.
Bridget. You're on mute now. Okay. So that's not humming in my head. I can get going.
Good deal.
Did you think of one thing yet that a good recruiter does and a bad recruiter doesn't?
You take genuine interest in someone when you have them on the phone. Actually, this happened to me yesterday. I was speaking to somebody and went through my normal professionalism pitch and, you know, beyond just the few questions that you would ask. And at the end of the call, the person said, I want to thank you for the time on the phone. I can tell you that you really take a genuine interest in me and my career and the whole nine. And I just feel like that makes a world of difference when you're dealing with these people. I mean, these are people who are stellar.
How long did you have to talk to the person to get that?
That conversation I was on the phone for about maybe 15, 20 minutes.
Okay, so you're,
can we
what
hear
you're
that
saying
pitch?
Is...
Role play. Let's hear the pitch.
Live role play?
You do it with
yeah.
that Amy. That's Amy Alla, right? Go ahead, Amy.
Hello, yes. All right, I'll be the candidate.
Would you like to take 20 minutes on this call?
No.
Okay. All right.
Well, no, we'll just hear it, okay? So I'll cut you off when it gets
okay.
boring.
So, ring, ring.
Hello?
Hi, is Amy there?
This is Amy.
Hi, Amy. This is Chad Balbi with TechUSA. How are you doing today?
I'm good. What's up?
Well, not much, Amy. I'm actually calling in regards to your resume and your background. Did I catch you at a good time?
Are you a recruiter?
I am, yes. I work for TechUSA, a premier IT recruiting agency.
Yeah, I never heard of it. So, listen, you're the third recruiter to call me today. So I will tell you right now, my bill rate, $70 an hour. I'm only interested in being 10 minutes outside of Redmond. So what do you got?
Well, Amy, I'm not going to lie. That's awesome because that's pretty much why I was calling you. I wanted to talk to you about a local position that honestly is within that rate. However, I wanted to talk to you a little bit more about your background just to see if this is something worth discussing. I understand you probably get a million of these calls a day. I know how it is. I've honestly had my resume out there on the job board, and I got a million calls a day. But what I wanted to do was just introduce you to this opportunity because I think it'd be a really strong fit just based on your background, your skill set. And I've placed people at this company before, and I've heard nothing but great things 6 months, a year into it. Do you have a couple minutes where I might be able to learn about your experience and introduce you to this position?
What's the company?
Well, unfortunately, they did hold me to a confidentiality agreement, so at this point, I can't release their name. But if you are interested after the conversation we'd have, I'd be more than happy to share that information with you.
Okay, listen, I have ovaries. I'm a big deal in tech, all right? I know you need diversity hires. What do you got for me?
Well, you are the person I want to speak to then. Like I said, the position's for XYZ here with the company, looking for XYZ skill sets, and just want to talk to you. So it looks like on your background, you are currently working, right?
Okay. Let's cut in there, Sammy. My phone keeps cutting out, listening to what you guys are saying.
I was just trying to emulate some of my recent candidates.
See this? See? Where were you speaking up when I said that earlier, right?
I liked it. I like how he was ready. I mean, nothing really stumbled him, and Amy was being overly anti-recruiter call. I liked it. Good work.
No.
I merged together a bunch of people I talked to this week.
let me take him to task on this. He says, you know, it's not enough. Like, he says the recruiter shouldn't just say, you know, there's a commute involved. Is that commute good for you? This is the money. Is that going to be good for you? And if the person says, no, I won't drive that far, and no, I won't take that money, okay, thanks. Get off the phone as fast as possible. He says, Chad says, that's bad recruiting. So instead, he spends an extra 15 minutes on the phone with the person who's really no good for this job. Is that worthwhile? Because that's
no.
what he's saying is good.
No. You've got that wrong. Like I said, I learn about them, what drives them, what motivates them for a position, because that's a very closed-minded view. If you're going to look at, all right, how are you a fit for this position? you know, what are the chances that person's a better fit for another position you're working on? Or let's say you can market their resume to a client in your area. If I just say, all right, you're looking for $15 an hour, 45 minutes from home, and my position doesn't come near to that, I'm cutting off so many doors that I could be putting them in front of other candidates or could be marketing them in front of other clients in that territory. You know, if I'm doing my job well...
When's the last time you had one of those 15-minute conversations with someone who's not good for a job and you turned around and marketed that person?
A week ago for a marketing manager. I originally called him for an e-commerce director position. Turns out he was just wasn't a fit for the position, but I knew about a company in the area who was looking for a marketing manager. I had a relationship built. Within 2 days, I got that gentleman an interview there through my company.
Okay. What if you're, like last week our guest was a generalist. So if he's working in a marketing job, who knows when he's going to work it again? Should he talk to these people and find out all about them when he really doesn't know if he's going to be able to use them in the future?
Again, it's my thought process that you should be finding them out about them right off the bat, and then from there decide whether or not you can use their resume. And like I said, if you're just treating that person as simple as dollars and cents, you're really cutting off your nose, sweat your face type of situation. There's so many different companies in your territory that you could be marketing that person to and opening up doors and creating conversations increasing your revenue.
Yeah, you know what? That doesn't sound true to me. Does anybody else buy what he's saying?
Well, here's what I think, though. Here's what I think. And this is from a candidate perspective, if I'm still playing candidate, what might have kind of turned me off. You kept coming back at me with this client that you can't even tell me anything about. Drop the client. I mean, I do that even as an internal. I do that all the time, and I say I represent Microsoft, but we're a massive company with a gazillion positions. Let's talk about you, and then we'll determine which specific roles we might want to go after.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would have hoped you would have done.
Well, that's typically
I kept hearing the company coming up. I mean, I kind of threw out there, this is, you know, made up some numbers what I want, but I still felt like you were coming at me with a particular client. So maybe, you know, because I am a recruiter, I'm biased to it, but I felt like you were coming at me from the client's angle and not from my angle. So that's all I would have. It sounds like that's what you do, and you probably do it when it's not an off-the-cuff role play in front of a hostile audience. But that's
no,
the only thing that was missing for me.
My process is, hey, look, I represent, you know, a multitude of different companies in the area, and I specialize in this region. You know, even if this is my line to everyone, even if this position doesn't work out for you, I would love to stay in touch about positions that do make better sense for you. So, yeah,
Kathy,
I agree.
Kathy, did you want to say something? Kathy?
Yeah, he did ask you, Amy. He said, I want to hear more about your qualifications. He did do that. He directed it.
Okay, I don't need you to defend this guy. I thought you were going to say something again.
I was
going to
say, we need more anger.
Why not? He was good.
Okay,
Animal doesn't like hearing that.
If you're recruiting just programmers, yeah, sure, you want to populate your database with all the information about the people in the field. But, you know, if you're not going to be talking to these people again necessarily, I like what he says, what the bad recruiter does. You know, get on the phone, see if the person's worthwhile, get off the phone. And that's what our good friend Stephen Nahez does too. He told us that his recruiters spend 4 minutes on the phone with the candidate. Okay? So there you go. There's different ways. What else does a good recruiter do that a bad recruiter doesn't do?
Well, I mean, you step out of what you're supposed to do in other areas, and that's why I addressed in the article where, you know, for me, I go out of my way, and maybe it's just in my nature, but I go out of my way to make sure, hey, look, your resume doesn't look that great. Let's fix that up. You know, on your interview, make sure.
How much time do you spend fixing someone's resume? Someone who you're not necessarily going to use for a job.
I can redo a resume in about 3.5 minutes.
Okay, so you can't make a phone call in 3 minutes. You can't screen a candidate in 3 minutes, but you can fix the resume in 3 minutes for nothing. Okay, great. I don't believe you. Does anybody else?
Come shadow me in my office one day.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so you say that the good
recruiter...
He would
if he ever left his crib.
The good recruiter... I was out at the drugstore at midnight yesterday, Jerry, okay?
Well, that was scary.
I'm impressed you're talking very well, all things considered.
Thanks. Anyway, you said that the bad recruiter doesn't understand the company. The good recruiter understands the company, but you didn't really seem to give us understanding the company doesn't mean very much, really. What does it mean? You said they know the dress code. They know what the structure of the department is. I guess that's what you meant. They can tell you if everyone is young and what personality traits are important to the hiring manager. Is that what understanding the company means, those like five things?
I mean, no, it's not just those five things. It's what makes up the company. Now, me, I do direct hire recruiting, so it's a lot different, but I want to know what goes involved, you know, between obviously the benefits, 401k, but things outside of that. I told you, you know, I have one client that offers sport packages or yearly vacations, you know, what's the culture of the company? And culture,
well,
as
no,
I said,
no, no,
is
no,
such
no.
A...
When you say what's the culture of the company, give me a checklist. What are we talking about there? Come on.
Well,
everybody, come on.
As,
have some pity on
as,
me, not the guest. I got to work with people. Say, oh, that culture. What do you mean by the culture?
As,
don't bug me.
As,
that's not an answer, okay? Tell me what you mean by, oh, I know all about the culture. Give me a checklist. What do you mean? You told me, oh, shit, I know the dress code. I know if they like everybody to be old or young. No, no. What do you mean?
It's exactly that. It's walking into a company and getting a feel for the company. Like I said, my one client, as HR inappropriate as this might be, everyone is between their 20s and 30s, and that's just the way it is. And
no, no.
Everyone...
Imagine you're talking with Amy again. It's nice to hear from
okay.
Amy. I'm happy to hear her on the show.
Hi, Amy.
Okay.
Hi.
And you know, I can't imagine what it's like to be able to say, what's a company? I work for Microsoft. Everybody knows. Everybody knows, right? It's not like oh, you have to explain anything to them. Oh, it's Microsoft, okay? What she has to explain is the variety of jobs there. Yeah. Okay. Now, the thing is, imagine you're talking to Amy, and she said to you, well, what's the culture of the company like, Chad, Double D? And so what would you say to her? Think of one of your own companies and tell her. Tell us right
well,
now.
If I've done my research, like I said, when I do my research, along with visiting it, then you also want to look at their online reputation.
Do you visit every company? Do you visit every company?
I do, yes, yes.
And you consider that essential then. Am I right about that?
I think it's important. I don't think it's necessary. I think you can fill a position without visiting them. But I think for me, in my process, yes, I find it very essential.
Okay. So Amy says, hey, buddy, what's the culture like? I'm very fussy. What do you give? Pick a company that you work with or...
Well, I would want to know why she's fussy. What are you fussy about? So you can't just say, well, let me try to, you know, make up a company that works for you. Tell me why. But, you know, like I said, you want to know about its reputation. Glassdoor is a beautiful thing for that. Look, it gets rated highly by employees, both former and current. Here's
you just
the
told us you don't use Glassdoor. I asked
you
a few minutes ago.
You said, do I use it for recruiting?
Oh, please. Well,
in your recruiting day.
Hey, God, why do you give me guests like
every
this?
Time,
come
every
on.
Time.
Oh,
every
no,
time.
I don't use it.
Every time you asked me if I used it and I said yes, you asked if I made a placement through it, essentially asking, have you used this to recruit a candidate? No, I've never used Glassdoor to recruit a candidate, but yes, I have used it to develop to understand the online reputation of my client.
Okay, and what about those others, too, then? You probably use more of them than you told us. Anyway, okay, so you know what? I've been begging for 5 minutes. Can you please tell me, so what you do is...
Hello?
Are you there?
Did we lose him?
Oh,
no.
Oh, gosh. See this? And I'm to blame for all this, you know?
I make a
call
on Facebook page. That's intriguing.
It's ridiculous.
Am I not,
yeah,
am I not on?
I'm just blowing it anyway.
I'm not.
Seriously. He's lucky he got cut off before we started booing him.
He's on again. He's on.
Am I there?
What?
Yeah. Hey, can you hear me?
Oops.
Yes.
Hey, look, Jerry, you get the guy then to tell us, just give us an example. I mean, he told us now, if she asks what the culture is, he's like a psychiatrist. It's a porcupine clothes. Well, what is it you're looking for?
Oh, no.
So she can
you're trying to prove a point that we all already know, that us
what's
recruiters
that?
Have no idea what a company's true culture is
mm-hmm.
just from grabbing a job order with the hiring manager and maybe going over there for a cup of coffee, at most.
I agree. And I
so
told
we
you
don't.
That.
So it's a crock. Culture is who's doing who, what's going on, who hates who, and it's all that stuff really that goes on in conversations at the coffee pot or in the gym or after hours, stuff that you will never know on just a float down the hallway and, well, here's our accounting department and there's engineering. None of that. So for us to say we know a company's culture is ridiculous.
Okay, you answered it for him. Okay, so then the other
sometimes
thing
I have to answer for people.
Okay, if you notice, I did put that in one of my answers, and that's what my response was going to be, was culture is a very taboo word.
Yeah.
No.
Piggybacking on my answer. It happens all the time.
I answered it just like that, if you see that email that I sent you guys.
No, you didn't. I'll take
Yes,
Jerry's
I did.
Answer.
Open the
document.
Yes, he did.
Thank you.
I didn't read it. Okay. And that's
I read most of it. Animal probably didn't read any of it. Thank you for your time that you put into that. I appreciate it. I really do.
Okay. The bad recruiter doesn't understand the job. Now, you say the bad recruiter only knows some buzzwords and key phrases, but really, later on, you seem to say you don't really have to be a spaceman to build a spaceship. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't need to be an engineer to recruit an engineer. So, really, what's left? A buzzword and a few key phrases. I mean, what do you need to know that the bad recruiter doesn't know?
Well, I think it's important, obviously, to know the level at which you're doing it. It's easy to say somebody's a CNC machinist, but are they a programmer? Do they set up? What have you?
That's a great answer. Thanks. I'll just move on. Okay. Okay. Fine. Follow up. Bad recruiters don't follow up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's I've read multiple articles on this. That's one thing that's really making it look bad in front of candidates is people just dropping off the face of the earth after an interview because you don't have the guts to say, hey, look, we liked you, but we didn't like you enough or as much as we liked the other candidate.
Mm-hmm. You know, I noticed you said that the recruiter has such a good relationship with the hiring manager. The hiring manager won't tell the candidate why he's rejecting her. But he doesn't mind telling the recruiter, and the recruiter feels free to pass that information on, you know, quite liberally. That's not true. Do you have any examples for me?
Did I use liberally? Anyways, yes, I do. I was recently recruiting on a Java programmer for a client of mine. And was talking to the candidate, I was talking to the hiring manager, and the hiring manager said, he's like, you know, Chad, I'm not sure how comfortable I would be telling this person to the face, but, you know, I just feel like they're not, and again, it goes back to that taboo word, I don't feel like they're a culture fit for us. They're, you know, things just didn't click to seem to click with the group. And he told me point blank he didn't feel that he'd be too comfortable expressing that. I had no problem with that, because ultimately I used it as a learning point for the candidate. It's, you know, it's hard obviously to change who you are, but at the same time I told him, hey, look, I don't know if you're going to fit into this company and what they're looking to do. And it wasn't an ugly conversation. It wasn't a poor conversation at all.
That's because you didn't say anything. You said, oh, it's not a fit. You didn't say it's not a fit because they don't like your ugly face or they don't like the way you do your hair or they think you're square or they think you're intellectually flatlined. Yeah, you didn't tell them anything specific. Oh, you're not.
None of us do, man. That's the one part of the job that we all kind of don't really do so well.
Okay, Jerry.
Let's admit it. Can we all admit that?
I admit it.
I'll hide from people. I'll never even answer the phone when they're calling. I'll tell them I went out of business and that was. I'm sorry to drop it on you, but I quit. Or I'll tell them, look, dude, you are a disgusting slob. Nobody's going to hire your fat ass.
Yeah, right. I don't know why I sent you out there. In fact,
right.
I didn't meet you. The fact is I didn't meet you, and they asked me the first thing, did you meet this guy? Whoa, what a mess.
Right, what do you think of him?
You hate that question. You know it's not good.
Yeah, so Chad says that.
I always like that question, though, and you get it every once in a while. I was like, have you ever met her? No, why? Well.
It's all downhill from there.
That. Yeah, I got it. And then she got knocked out. Anyway, and I couldn't tell her why they didn't like her. They don't like the way she looked. And Chad doesn't tell either. Chad says that separates the sheep from the goats, the bad recruiter from the good recruiter. He doesn't mean it, okay? There's all kinds of things he doesn't mean. Okay.
So can we summarize what we've learned so far?
Go ahead.
I have no clue what I'm doing.
We have no idea about our customer's culture, and we never tell candidates the real reason why they didn't get hired.
Yeah, that's true.
Anything else we need to add to this fantastic show?
Sounds about right.
He says he spends.
And our fees are absurd.
He says you have to spend 15 minutes, 15
yeah.
minutes minimum with every candidate, even ones you're not going to use. Okay? Because you might, if you're special, if you got a niche, you might be using them later. Am I still on? Am I on? It just goes dead.
Yeah, you're on.
That's too bad, Jerry. Sorry. I'm sorry, Jerry.
Well, I'm still in this discussion over on the Facebook group Recruiters Who Actually Make Placements.
Yeah,
feel
okay,
free to,
look.
Feel free to ask to join.
Yeah, okay. A recruiter knows what a bad interview looks like and how it can be prevented. That's what you offer. It's much better to go and apply for a job through a recruiter than on your own. I always tell people the opposite. It's better to go on your own because they don't have to pay any money to get you. But a guy like Chad has this fallacy that it's better to go through a recruiter. And one of the things is the recruiter knows what a bad interview looks like and how it can be prevented, and he can teach that to the candidate. I dare you to explain what you mean.
I can give you situations, again, where I've had candidates say to me on my interview with them and talk poorly about their employer, talk negatively, what have you, all the taboo things that you don't want to do. If they're now, I know certain people are going to interact with recruiters differently than they will with hiring managers, but the fact that they're able to give this to, the information to somebody who ultimately is going to be making a decision on whether or not they go to the next step leads me to believe they probably wouldn't be afraid to do that in front of a hiring manager. And I think we all know that the minute you start doing that is the minute that the interview starts to be over. So you prep the person and you speak to them, and it's all case by case. All of this, I cannot tell you,
no,
is
I'll
going
tell
to
you
be...
What you say. You know, the recruiter knows.
Are you there again?
He's gone.
right before. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
So,
he's killing me right now.
I have a question, Chad.
Yeah.
So how do you handle
the
candidates? So the candidates that, you know, you've approached a candidate as, you know, hey, I'm going to be an advocate for you. I'm, you know, multiple positions. We can talk about that kind of thing. At some point, a lot of times, we're not able to do anything for this candidate anymore. We've exhausted all of our options. They're just not the right fit for our niche, whatever. How do you get rid of them?
I mean, I don't know if it's a necessarily getting rid of them, but I think everyone...
Yeah, I have no filter, and I say ridiculous things all the time, clearly,
but translate
that in your own head.
I agree.
We like that about you, Amy.
I do agree with you that, yes, eventually it gets to the point where, hey, look, you know, no longer I can help you out here. What I tell people is, one, obviously I think LinkedIn is a beautiful tool for that. It keeps you somewhat connected. You don't have to message every day, but it keeps you connected. But I do tell people, I say, hey, look, if you see anything online as you do your own career searching with the Tech USA name on it, even if it's not a position that I'm working on, call me about it. Let me know. I may have a connection there. Or at the very least, if you're interviewing on your own or if you're putting in applications on your own and you don't hear from anyone, I've built a network in Philadelphia where I'm probably connected to that person or have a second connection, I'll try to bridge that for you.
So you're going to present someone who you already said nobody wants. Let's move on from that.
This is interesting. Does anybody else have this problem? Because I do, and this is actually very interesting to me. Well, okay, so it's the same thing even internally, right? And I run into this where a candidate maybe isn't right for my particular group or my roles or, you know, they're good for Microsoft but not necessarily for my group. So I can take that person's resume, I can forward it to the right recruiter, I can, you know, put in a good word if I'm comfortable doing that, if I have a relationship with the candidate. But at some point, I'm out of the process. Like, I've done everything I can do. Now it's going to be between the candidate and that other recruiter or that other company even, if it's outside of Microsoft. I mean, some candidates don't react well to that. They think I should be doing more or I don't know, maybe I'm somehow giving them the wrong impression of what I can do.
Yeah, I think it just comes down to being honest with them and tell them, hey, look, we've gone as far as we can with this position, but I don't want the relationship to end here. You know, again, that's why they create networking tools, and that's why email is beautiful. You know, pop me in a weekly email. I've got a candidate
sending me a weekly email about that subject. Career Innovations is asking me to unmute the line. Are you Bridget Badgett? Because Bridget Badgett is the only person I've muted. So tell me online if you really are burning to say something. Hold on, I'll open her. To hear the whooshing sound.
Hey, I have to interrupt.
Hello?
Yep.
I got to interrupt.
What
appliance repair guy is here, and we've got to replace one of my breakers in my breaker box.
Okay, beat it. Amy will take over the after show for you.
I'm here. Oh, I have to bounce. I'll try.
Okay, well, maybe we won't. Bridget, do you want to say something? Is that you begging to have your line open?
Yeah,
go ahead.
I wanted to actually, I think Amy's the one that asked the question about what can you do with candidates that you may not be placing. And what we've done at Career Innovations, we actually have other resources in place which are added value to candidates that we cannot place. And it is things to help them with their interviewing, their resume, and things of that nature. So you're not wasting so much time with candidates that you're not going to place, but you're not being the bad guy by walking away and ignoring them. You're giving them some type of tools to strengthen their
Her guys won't be happy with that. Oh, here, I'm going to teach you how to do it yourself. You know what they're going to say? Two words, and I can't say them on the show. That's my take based on Amy. Now, Chris is a little different. He's already blown his load. He's done everything. He's rewritten their resume in 2 minutes. He's marketed them to everybody he can think of. But what he does is he holds out this perhaps false hope that if, you know, they see something they're interested in, he'll try to make a special introduction for him. That's their thing. Now, thank you very – you know, you're not making any noise on your line, Bridget, so feel free to speak up again. I wanted to say something before you interrupted me, and I can't remember what is that. Oh, yeah, I wanted to ask – nice to meet you, Bridget. You've never been on before, I don't think. So I wanted to ask Chad. He says, my candidate lost out on a VPHR job because she didn't send a proper thank you note. Are you serious?
Hand to God. Lost out on a $35,000 fee because of that.
That's absurd. I mean, your client was a nut. I wouldn't want to work for a company that did that.
You can imagine how I felt.
Okay, so but obviously you didn't coach. You say you coach, one of the things you offer, you coach them right through the process. You tell them what to do. You obviously didn't think that was important enough to mention. You'll tell them, hey, have a firm handshake with this guy, but you don't know that they demand a thank you note. And what you said, a proper thank you note, did they just send an email? It wasn't a handwritten, scented letter? Or what was the problem there?
Yeah, I would think ultimately they didn't get into too much detail. My client didn't, but I think it was just the way it was written wasn't for them. It's part of my process. I let everyone know, hey, look, afterwards you want to get together a handwritten thank you note, send it to them, the whole nine. So I coached them as well as I could, you know. But
How do you know when someone wants a handwritten thank you note? Do you ask the kid? Do you say, hey, hiring manager, and do you like to get notes from people?
No, that's more something. I mean, who's going to say no to something like that?
I don't like handwritten thank you notes. Okay, I don't like getting hard copy mail. You want to thank me? Send me an email. Don't suck up to me. Okay, it's not going to work.
No, I love thank you notes. I love handwritten thank you notes. I keep them, all of them. I've been recruiting for almost 15 years. I probably have every single one I've ever received.
Maybe that's because you're a girl. I don't know. Okay.
Maybe.
Well, she was interviewing with a girl, so does that help make my case?
Uh-huh. Anybody got a question? Bridget, do you have anything else you want to say now that you've got the spotlight?
No, I don't have anything else to say. It was just interesting listening to the difference between an agency recruiter and a corporate recruiter. When I went into the business, I came from an IT background. I never worked for a corporate recruiting, so it was good to get some insight on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, $35,000 because of a thank you note. I don't believe it. That can't be the only reason. They didn't like your candidate.
That's what. Okay? I thought the same thing. I mean, that's a little ridiculous.
Didn't you probe a little more?
I did. I got as much information as I could possibly get from them.
Okay, here. I got you on something. Look, cover letter is dead. You got a big article. Cover letter.
Oh,
is
I love
dead.
This one.
Oh yeah, and you say. You say, no, I never send a cover letter to the client. I write a little note myself summarizing what they do, and I attach that to the resume and send it in. That's a cover letter, okay?
I would beg to differ that a one paragraph versus, you know, almost five or six is a letter, but, you know, I understand what you're getting at.
I have a question. Do you even read cover letters? Like, if your candidates send you cover letters, do you even read them?
Rarely.
No. No.
Exactly.
Jerry claims he does.
I do.
Uh-huh.
You know what?
Most of them are just garbage. That's why we don't read them. So we know they're just copied.
Are you agreeing with my article or are you disagreeing? I'm confused.
I'm saying the cover letter is dead.
Welcome to the show.
Cover letter is dead because they're garbage. They're garbage. But what you do is you write a decent cover letter. So you don't think the cover letter is good, Bad Dad. you think a good cover letter is worthwhile, so you send a cover letter, okay?
I write an email. The traditional cover letter is dead.
The introductory paragraph is alive and well.
I'm going to rewrite that article with traditional in front of it because it's clearly lost in conception. But, yes, I would never send an email to a client that said, here's this resume, take a look at it and let me know what you think.
Okay,
that's just,
it's only a few minutes left. Okay, now you agree with me that hiring managers are the dumbest people around. And here's
your word,
Mike, I'll show some,
He said I said that too when I was a guest.
did we lose him again?
We may have. Hey, we need somebody for the after show. I have a call at 10. Kathy, can you do it?
I can't. No.
No after show. Am I still on?
I'll just assume you love this show and thought I was the greatest guest in the world.
Okay. You gave me some scores. I'll put them together.
You don't have to worry about an after show.
Okay, but look, I want to get this out. I've only got a few minutes, okay? So you say I can tell you countless stories where my clients wanted someone who had 10 years of experience, but they wanted a pair like an entry-level candidate. Yeah, that's a dummy. That is a dummy, okay?
That's not
understanding
your market.
And then you give all the reasons why that's bad. What?
That's not understanding your market.
They're ignorant people.
That's an educational opportunity.
Exactly. And if you look at my blog, my latest article was on that very subject. So if you ever want to get involved in that, read that article. I list five
important
reasons.
Didn't I just read it? Didn't I tell you I read it? Did you put it in this morning? I read your stuff last night.
I'm just making sure you did. That's all. You told me yourself you barely skimmed over my stuff.
No, I didn't. I read it thoroughly. Didn't you see the notes I sent you? All the feedback?
I loved it.
Okay. Now, look, they're stupid. That's what you're saying. They don't know anything about the marketplace. Is that right? And you've got these idiots who reject a person because of the cover letter, or at least that's the story. You know what? That's the story they give you. They don't even want to give you the honest story. They say, it's a cover letter. Here's what you should have said. Can't you come up with a better excuse than that? What's the real story? Didn't like his face? Didn't like the way she dressed? She had a bad smell about her? What's the story? What's wrong? It's not the cover letter. Don't bullshit me. Okay? That's what you say. $35,000. I'm going to say anything I want. Don't screw me, buddy. I put a lot of work into this.
It was
tough. It's a cover letter. You're throwing her out for that reason.
You ever heard the saying,
I wouldn't throw her out of bed for it because she eats crackers? Yeah, that's the same thing.
Solid reference there.
So let me hear one story before you go. Let me just hear one story where you had one of these guys who wanted to pay like half the required salary to get the kind of person they needed. What did you do? How did you turn them around?
Okay, well, most recently I had a client wanting to hire a marketing manager who they were paying $35,000 for, and the industry average was about $50,000 for that position. So, one, I informed them of that with factual evidence, but they weren't. That still wasn't good enough. I brought them two $35,000 candidates and one $50,000 candidate. Wouldn't you know, the candidate that they wanted to go with was the $50,000 candidate? They understood that. They realized that. We came to an offering of $45,000 with some sign-on bonuses and whatnot.
Yeah, okay. Anything else you'd like to say before we go?
I don't know. I don't know how to interpret that. No, anything else I want to say? I appreciate being on. I love this industry. It drives me crazy. It drives me up a wall, but I wouldn't be doing anything else with my life as crazy as that sounds.
Yeah, we know you like it because you're ruthless and you're a wolf and whatever other bad stuff.
That's not it at all. I've found a home here, coming straight out of college, and I don't look back.
Uh-huh. Okay, and you're a big guy. You're some kind of athlete. Is that right?
Half marathon runner and training for a triathlon, yes.
Okay.
Wow.
Bridget Baggett. Is it Baggett or Badgett? How do you say your name?
It's Baggett.
Baggett. Do you have a Twitter address that people can find you at?
Yes, it's at Career Innovate. So that's just C-A-R-E-E-R Innovate, I-N-N-O-V-A-T-E.
Oh, yeah, that's how I found you because you sent me a note. But your connection, what kind of phone are you on?
I'm on a Skype.
Yeah, that figures. You're not supposed to be. Are you using a headset?
Yes.
Okay, thanks. And on that note, Chris Balby,
he's
nice
a rebel.
To know you. Thank you. Oh, love me better. You sexy man. Come on, touch me, baby. You sexy man.
So 18 years in the industry, started with a family firm, recruiting industry.
Oh, there you have it.
Started
Jerry,
with
wake
family
up.
Firm.
You recommended this guy. Go ahead.
I mentioned it offhand when I was in a drunken stupor.
Don't ask Jerry for advice after 5 p.m. Okay, go ahead, Ryan.
Oh, God.